pray. Our Heavenly Father, through your holy word today, teach us that you want to use each of us to make a difference in the lives of those around us. We ask, Lord, that we might be about your mission in our world, in our lives, and through our lives. And we may be strengthened through Christ, through word and sacrament, that we may serve you. In his name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is the fifth Sunday of Easter. We're in Easter time. Remember, we talked about this. This is the period from Easter Sunday through Pentecost, the 50 days, all of the lessons and so forth deal with the effects of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, we're going to talk this morning about dealing with the unexpected. Christians live with the unexpected. This guy's on the road, the sign says, anything can happen in the next 2,300 miles. Think about it for a moment. That sign could say to you, anything can happen in the next 365 days. And guess what? It probably will. One of the great things about the Easter season, though, is that we learn how to deal with the unexpected. We're going to talk, first of all, about the first lesson this morning from the book of Acts. This is Philip. Now, remember, Philip was a deacon there at the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr. He was there. He was appointed to take care of the widows and orphans and to help with things. He eventually is with the disciples. The persecution hits. When Stephen is killed, there's dispersement to all parts of the world of the Christian, the apostles. They have great success in Samaria and Judea. And Philip is there, and they baptize 5,000 people in one day, and everything is going fine. Philip is all charged up. And then an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, Philip, I've got something I want you to do. I want you to leave all of this, and I want you to go. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I want you to keep in mind here, Jesus said last Sunday, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, these also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. That was from John 10. Now, Philip is told that he is to leave this busy, successful ministry that he and the apostles have, and he's to go on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, that's not exactly Southern California, a buzzing, busy place. This is pretty much deserted. Now, if you were Philip, when the angel came and said to you, although if an angel came and told me something, I'd probably hop right to it. An angel has never appeared to me that I know. But the angel came and said, okay, here's what you do. I want you to go out there. Didn't tell him why. Just go. Philip was attuned to the direction of God, and he went there. There's about a 50-mile trip from Jerusalem to Gaza. He's out in the middle of the desert there when he comes across the Ethiopian eunuch, who is the treasurer for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. Now, Candace is the king of Ethiopia in those days was too elevated to touch anything mundane, so they put the queen in charge. Her title was always Candace. Now, they hired eunuchs in those days so that they couldn't have any children. So as a result, they were army officers, so they would be braver than everyone else. They didn't have to worry about their family at home because they really didn't and weren't going to have any. They could be put in charge of families because they were safe to be around women and children. And the other thing was they were put in charge of treasuries, finances in many countries. Why? Because of the fact that if they didn't have any children, they probably weren't going to steal any money or take any chances because they had nothing to put it all away for. They had only loyalty to their king. This one is a believer. Remember way back in the Old Testament, Queen Sheba and Solomon? That's where Sheba was from, is down in this area. Solomon was down there. The Jews had a foothold in there. Judaism was there. Apparently, this man was a believer. He had, and he was very wealthy. Maybe he was dipping into the till a little bit, we don't know. But he was trusted and paid very well with all that money. He had been on a long trip, taking his chariot and his servants up to Jerusalem to go to the temple. Now, because he was only a believer and he was a Gentile, he could only go into the court of the Gentiles. He couldn't actually go into the temple. But while he was there, he purchased a scroll, the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, this guy had to have a lot of money because scrolls were very expensive in those days. Everything was copied by hand. As Philip comes along, he sees and hears as he walks up on the Ethiopian there reading out loud. They read out loud in those days. It was probably the 4th century or something when people started just reading to themselves. Most people just read out loud. He is reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's Isaiah 53. And we read it there when you read the lesson that it's a prophecy about the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, that Isaiah writes. Remember, he is led like a sheep to the slaughter, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jump up to Good Friday. And remember, there is Jesus on the cross, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. This is God in the flesh. And he is sacrificing himself for us. Now, as he's reading this, he says to Philip, or Philip says to him, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? So the text tells us that Philip tells him the good news about Jesus. And it is good news. He tells him who Jesus was, the eternal God in the flesh, the God who suffered and died on the cross, who took away, made propitiation, John says in his epistle. He satisfied the punishment that we all deserve. Punishment for sin is what? Physical death, undergoing eternal separation from God, hell. Jesus did all of those things on the cross. We talked about last Sunday. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, one of his 7 last words. My God, why have you forsaken me? He paid the penalty of physical death, of undergoing hell for each of us. And on Easter Sunday, he rose again. Philip tells him all about that, and then the eunuch says to him, there's some water, why can't I be baptized? And Philip says, okay. He is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit confirms in him the faith that he had been given through the Word of God, through the prophet Isaiah and Philip's explanation as to what that Word of God really meant, the good news there. And then Philip disappears and he goes on to another town. Now, what does all this mean? Well, we live in a day where, you know, the little emoji, have a good day with a smiley face, probably more often than not today comes out looking like this. Have a day. Now, we have lower expectations for what life is all about. But I want you to think about this for a moment as we kind of discuss what all of this meant. What have we learned from this first lesson from Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Like Philip, we don't know what today will hold. You don't. If I were to ask you, maybe not. There's no football games on anymore. afternoon. Some of you are probably going out somewhere to lunch. You can probably find a place where you can find something to eat. Some of you are going to go home, work in the garden, in the yard, whatever. We're pretty sure we know what we're going to do. But do we? No, we don't know what God has in store for us. Like Philip, we may think, hey, everything's going great. I am set where I'm going to go. I'm going to do what I'm going to do today. And then something else happens. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Something unexpected. Like Philip, though, from God's word, the sacrament, I want your faith to be strong enough so that no matter where you go, no matter what happens, you're ready for it. You're ready to let God use your life. Now, the second thing we learn is that everyone we come into contact with, God wants us to use us in their lives. Philip didn't know what was going to go on. I don't know whether you pay much attention to this, but it's kind of interesting to note that up until this point, there's not a whole lot of individual conversions that are accounted for in the scriptures. Most of it is like, well, they baptized 5,000 people in one day, and there was great response to God's word. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul on the road to Damascus, he had an individual conversion that probably shook him right to the roots. And he came to believe in Christ. But Philip is one of the first times that we see that God wants to use you. He wants to use me just like he did Philip. I don't care if you stop at the grocery store today. God is going to bring you into contact with people. Friends, neighbors, relatives, doesn't make any difference. God is going to bring you into contact with people. He has many sheep out there that are not of this fold that need to hear his voice and come in. 1973, myself, the vicars from Faith, members of Faith, he started Shepherd of the Valley. Why? So that you all could be here today. That people who have died, they could be here. They could experience the joys of Christ. They could be a member of the Shepherd's fold. God is still going to use you. He still has a purpose for all of us. He still has a purpose for this church and all of the other Christian churches, that we might be worked through and make a difference in God's lives. Just be open to his leading. Probably not going to be in the way that you expected. Maybe the people will even be unpleasant that you run into. God still wants you to work with them. And with God, we need to be ready for the next day. You know, Philip could have said to himself, wow, did I do a good job here or not? I mean, here we have a convert. Ethiopia today, because at least in legend, this guy, the eunuch, went back to Ethiopia and he founded the Christian church there. Ethiopia today is one of the long-standing, most Christian nations in Africa. Now, Philip could have said, oh, wow, did I do a good job? I'm going to dress, you know, from by the water, make a camp, I'm going to take a bath, whatever. Now, the angel of the Lord shoos him off, and he goes on to the next day in the next town. That's kind of the way life is. Just when you think, I've done a good thing, God, I've worked for the church, I've worked for Christ, I've witnessed, I've helped other people, God says, hey, I've got something else for you to do. Are you ready for it? God's ready. He wants to use you. Now, we want to jump up there. Again, in this is love, John tells us in his epistles. We have loved, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to make atonement, to pay the penalty for our sins. We talked about that. Now, in the gospel lesson today, John tells us that we need to stay connected to Christ. Now, we're really connected today. Think about it. We all probably have our phones with us. We are connected through social media, the internet, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, smartphones, iPads, and I can't keep up with it all. Other than when somebody emails me or texts me and says, hey, you've been hacked. You can always kind of tell when you get a message. I got two of them yesterday from pastors that said, how are you doing? You can pretty much much guess you've been hacked, or they have been, when you get that message there. But we need to stay connected, John said. We're connected all over the place, but maybe not with the right thing. Now, you think about how connected even children are. The parent says, "Davy, what noise does a cow make?" Davy says, "Moo." Alice, he says, "What noise does a cat make?" She says, "Meow." Jamie, "What sound does a lamb make?" It goes, "Baa." Jennifer, "What sound does a mouse make?" Without hesitation, she says, it goes, "Click." We are really connected. Our kids are really connected. My grandsons, you know, thank goodness for Little League and Pop Warner football. They never get out of the house. I can hear my one grandson when he's there in the bedroom talking and talking and talking, and I'm thinking, wow, who's he talking to? I knock on the door and say, "Is everything okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, we're just playing a game, Grandpa. Don't worry about it." "Why, but you're yelling at somebody." "Well," he said, "I think they're cheating. Plus, they're winning." Our kids are really connected, but are we connected to the right thing? Now, in the Gospel, John tells us that the most important connection we have is to Christ. "I am the vine, you are the branches." Here is where staying connected is most vital. Christianity has two central loci. Staying connected to God, that's why you're here today, that's why you read the scriptures at home, that's why you spend some time in prayer, that's why you actually think about God periodically when you're driving down the freeway instead of yelling at somebody. Maybe think about God. Maybe think about the post-Easter season. Maybe think about how God wants to use you. And staying connected to our neighbor. That's why you're in church. We talked about that in Bible classes. We talked about how do we minister to each other through the stages of grief. You are the most important people in other people's lives. As they're going through everything in life, you can be there, you can listen, you can help them, you can facilitate the process. It really makes a difference to be a Christian. Without either of these, Jesus says we're not whole people. We're not really connected. We're not going to bear the kind of fruit that he wants us to bear. That's why we're here. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. Now, think about all the "I am." Remember Moses, burning bush. God says, "Hey, go to Egypt, bring my people out." Moses says, "Nah, I don't want to go." God works on him, and finally convinces Moses to go. And finally Moses thinks of one last excuse. He says, "Okay, I'm going to go, but who should I say sent me?" And God says what? "Tell them I am who I am." In other words, God is bigger than any explanation. Well, when Jesus comes along, he is God in the flesh. And he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." And that's where we pick up with the Gospel of John. He is the true vine. God is the gardener there. He's the vine dresser. Now, I've noticed as they're tearing down all the golf courses, you know, San Diego County used to have so many beautiful golf courses, and then for whatever reason, people kind of lost interest in golf, other than the fact it takes 6 hours on the golf course to play and 2 more hours in the happy hour place afterwards. It was time-consuming, very expensive. But what are they doing with those golf courses now? They're making them in the vineyards, the Fallbrook Golf Course. We had many church and school tournaments up there when I was a pastor. Great times. Some idiot had too much to drink, shanked the ball. As I was walking to the next tee, hit me in the side of the head, knocked me out. My whole face swelled up and turned blue. Took me to the ER. They go, "What were you doing?" I go, "I was playing golf." They said, "That figures." Went to the doctor. the neurologist, and he goes, "Oh, are you lucky?" He said, "If that had hit you just a little bit higher," he said, "you wouldn't be with us today." Now, I didn't expect that. Did God use it? Yeah. The guy who hit me was really apologetic, trust me. And his wife almost killed him in the process. Jesus says that everything happens because we're connected to him and we deal with the unexpected. Now, think about it here. You see the illustration. Jesus is the trunk of the tree. Our Heavenly Father sends him, and there you see the picture of all the apostles there. Well, guess what? Who's further out on the branches? You're out there. I'm out there. We're attached to Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. Think about that as you go through your day today. Think about the fact, too, as you deal with the unexpected, that Jesus says that our lives are going to be pruned like the vines were pruned. I don't know, again, this is in California, not so much, but in Minnesota, as spring came, they would clip everything, they would till up the lawns, everything would be just a mess. You'd swear nothing was going to come back because they had pruned everything. And about a month later, everything was green and lush. Why? I learned because they had pruned it. Even the gardens that I was forced to dig up with spade and child labor by my grandmother pruned plants. Now, you're going to be pruned. I like this one. The cop pulls over the guy and says, "You are going fast." The guy says, "I was just trying to keep up with the traffic." The cop says, "There isn't any traffic." The guy said, "I know. That's how far behind I am." Now, I wouldn't suggest that you use that excuse. But it's theoretically possible that on your way home today, what? You could be pulled over. I won't tell you how many tickets I got for speeding. Then I bought one of those radar detector units. It broke, and I got old, and I just kind of slowed down and took my time. We don't know, but think about the fact that how many times were we pulled over, given a ticket or a warning, and think about what we probably avoided because of that. The unexpected in life happened to us, and maybe had we been down the road a little ways, a couple times after that happened, I was down the road and there was an accident, and I thought to myself, "Oh my goodness, that could have been me." Yeah. And guess what? Could have been you. But the unexpected comes. Could be God's pruning. He's working in our lives to accomplish what he wants so that we're still around. Good thing to memorize. I am the true vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Through Christ, we bear fruit. There's nothing more beautiful than walking through a vineyard where it's loaded with grapes ripe for the harvest. Now, Jesus is the true vine. He is the one that feeds and grows the church and all of us as Christians. If you remain in me, my words remain in you, whatever you want, I will do it for you as long as it's good for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you garden, think about that. You love it. Tomato plants, mine die, radishes, they're all tops. I get nothing on the bottom. I don't have a green thumb. But think about it. God does have a green thumb. And he wants to use each of us. And the fruit that he wants us to bear is this. Back up, yes. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Apostle Paul says, do these things. Let God work through you. Expect the unexpected. And guess what? your life is going to be a whole lot better because you're connected to Christ. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you.